Hope lots of Rochdale-based listeners today enjoying the commentary. Well, I'm glad you did. Of Rochdale's win over Featherstone Rovers. Although Gary Schofield is still there at the Big Fellas Stadium. No pies for you, Gary. No burger.
No. A little bit disappointing, Joanna. Say it's two dates now, Richie and Wolfie for sure. Wolfie for sure, Richie. I'm not playing hard to get, so I can't understand this, to be honest with you. Hey, the gourmet burgers and chips down here at Featherstone, and I say, I'm not playing hard to get, mate. You know, I'm a lad from Belisle, so, you know, I'm quite an understandable guy, to be honest.
It took you a while to get Belisle in on Monday, so people will be glad you've got it in so early this afternoon.
Well, why not? I've always got to get in, haven't I? Always got to get it in there from there. But we'll be for sure here. It's, Rochdale have fully deserved the 2 points.
Well, Billy's been on Twitter. I should say, by the way, there's a slight delay between here and Featherstone. So if you knew why Gary's taking a while to answer my questions, he's not being ignorant. It's the satellite delay. But Billy's been on, Scully. He says, we were doing his head in this afternoon. You wanting Featherstone to lose by the sound of it. And as we always say, our commentaries are always fair, always unbiased. And it sounded like from that report that Featherstone were not the better side this afternoon. And that's why it sounded like Rochdale were on top.
Well, absolutely, no. In what way did I want Featherstone to lose? No way, mate. And I say at the end of the day, Rochdale, for the full 80 minutes, they have fully deserved this victory. And I say at times they out-infused, Featherstone. Won't be sure if Rochdale, if they wouldn't have given the penalties away what they're doing, I'm sure they would have won by a few more points. But nowhere near in commentary was I thinking that Featherstone, I wanted Featherstone to lose. No way at all. And in the end, they nearly sneaked it, nearly 9-8 from there, and just with a drop goal from Fakhry maybe at the end from there. But for the full 80 minutes, Rochdale have been the better side. And as I used the word at the end there to sum up the game, Rochdale were far smarter than Featherstone. But nowhere made him a commentary did I sound as though that I wanted Featherstone to lose.
Well, I know that, but you know what people are like. It's good to see, by the way, plenty of people listening from Rochdale this afternoon, so they'll be very happy with their performance. And as we've seen, they've come up from League One. They've 3 wins from 5 games. That's a great start to the season for them, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And as I said before, and I say I know what Rochdale did to Dewsbury, obviously, with my son being on the coaching staff there. And he said to me, I said, you know what, Dad, Featherstone won't have it all their own way. They're, they're pretty enthusiastic and they're a smart side. Obviously, conditions today hasn't allowed, both teams, I guess, to move the ball like they would have done. But as I said before, Rich, if you don't turn up with your A game in this division, you're going to get turned over. It doesn't matter if you're Featherstone or Hawkinson Rovers or London or Bradford, and the teams that have come up, and I say, look at Rochdale and Swinton, even Oldham are being competitive. And that's exactly what we've seen this afternoon.
Yeah, let's see. It's good to see teams come up and do well against the bigger sides, which Featherstone are in this division. Obviously, having gone 4 games unbeaten, it might be a kick up the backside their knee, perhaps, after a good start to the season.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and I say with for sure here, I didn't see any complacency in the performance. Rochdale just outsmarted him, out infused him, and I say they were very well organised around the park by the halfback in Lewis Palfrey from there, and they were just smarter in everything what they did. So I wouldn't say it was an attitude problem. It's just maybe a bit out infused by Rochdale.
Let's just look at some of the other scorelines this afternoon. Battling victory for Batley. They came from behind to beat Swinton. So they're on 3 wins from 5, much like Rochdale. Toulouse with an away win, which is one out of the draw for them, away at Halifax. So they're up to 4th. London beating Bradford, and Sheffield being well beaten at Hulkingston Rovers, as you'd expect. So the top 4 at the moment, Hull KR, Featherstone Rovers, London and Toulouse, which could be the way it ends at the end of the season as well.
Yeah, it could be. And as I say, people are saying about the question to lose, it's a little bit like Catalans, what they're going to be like on the travels. But they haven't been doing too bad on the travels, and certainly a big win for them at Halifax. They seem to be struggling a little bit, Halifax, don't they, to be honest from there. But again, as I've mentioned, not just in today, but also the other commentaries I've done when we do the championship, if you don't turn up and you don't play for the full 80 minutes, you're going to get turned over. And I say, Toulouse, we know that at their ground, they make it a fortress, and they're going to be very, very competitive at home. But now on the road, if they get the form okay, then yeah, they're certainly going to make a knock on the door for that top 4.
Elsewhere then today, you'll be happy because obviously you've got links with Keighley. They've beaten the Crusaders 50 points to 8 to start their League One campaign. Hunslet and Doncaster winning as well. So by York's defeat yesterday, a clean sweep for the League One sides. But especially that Keighley result, that's a big win over the Crusaders. 50 points to 8 on the first day of the season.
Yeah, it is indeed. And I say, yeah, Lingard, and I know the pressure what the coach gets put under there from the chairman in Gary Fawcett and the commercial director in Simon Harris. You know they want success from there. But, yeah, it's a great start for Keith, a great start for the new coach in Lingard as well. So long may it continue. But at the end of the day, any coach will tell you, and I'll tell you as well, from a point where even me as a player, and I know I'm going to be talking about this tomorrow night, it's all about consistency and performance. You know exactly where I'm coming from here, Mr. Shaw, right? It's all about quality performance week in, week out. It's as simple as that.
Well, let's talk Super League, because we've had a couple of questions. Stephen's been asking your thoughts on Wakefield's win at St Helens on Friday. What did you make of Scott Grix's performance as well?
Well, it's, overall, it was okay, but I was cursing when he put that little kick through in the second half. We were around about 10 minutes to go, and you know he's more experienced. He was a better player than that. But as I say, but overall, for the full 80 minutes, Wakefield deserved that. Okay, the people are still going on about with that penalty try, was it or wanted, but there was a challenge there, and if he wouldn't have challenged him, he would have maybe got there with Jacob Miller. But I just felt as though Wakefield, with the attitude, what they showed, and they were looking to make amends for what happened at Huddersfield the week before. They wanted an 80-minute performance, and over that 80 minutes, they fully deserved the 2 points.
I think if we look at that decision as well for the penalty try, you can't really blame the younger halfback Richardson, can you? He had to do something, and if he hadn't have stopped Miller, well, according to the referee, he would have scored. So he's caught between a rock and a hard place there.
Oh, yeah, it is. And dare I say, I know after the game, and you know, Kieran was a little bit scary to say, well, if it's not 100% sure, then it can't be given as a penalty try. But if Richardson wouldn't have gone anywhere near Jacob Miller, then it certainly would have been a legitimate try from there. So he had to try and do something. So, but at the end of the day, you know, Wakefield for the full 80 minutes, they fully deserved the win, but it got a little bit frustrating, though, didn't it? We a couple of penalties to James Child, and I say the penalties what got St Helens back into the game. But yeah, Chris Chester would be delighted. I think it's the first victory. What is it in 12, Rich? You'll know yourself being a Wakefield fan.
That's it, over now, yeah.
You know, one in 12, and so they'll be going into plenty of confidence come Salford next week.
Yeah, a couple of penalties from David Fifita almost turned the game around, didn't they? I'm not sure about the second one. You were alongside me then. You said, you know, you can't pick players up like that. But the first one, when he didn't play the ball correctly, does anyone play the ball correctly anymore?
Well, it's they don't, do they? But I think what they're pulling for is that he moved forward after he didn't even touch the ball anyway. But then you move forward and take the markers out. But at the end of the day, you see that week in and week out, don't you? So at times, I just felt it was a petty call from referee Child. But overall, Wakefield deserved it and delighted that they've got the first 2 points on the board.
So there's the positivity bit of that game. St Helens, below Wakefield in the table. I know it's still early. They're ninth. It's just on points difference. But as you say, Wakefield were the better team for the majority of that game, and St Helens, I know they've got Matty Smith out injured, but Theo Farge has been around Super League for a while now. They've got a lot of experienced players in that team, the likes of their captain John Wilkin. It's not as if they've got a team full of kids out there, and they look devoid of ideas for most of that game.
Well, do you know what, Rich? I've done a piece in my column tomorrow. You know, there's different parts of it tomorrow, and one of it about St Helens. You know, the problem is with St Helens, and I have sympathy with Kieran Cunningham, and Kieran's said now for, I think, the last two or three games that they started poorly. That's nothing to do with the coach. That's an individual thing from the players collectively. And do you know what these St Helens players, and I've said it tomorrow in my column, right? They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. So now, these St Helens players, you know, they've got to start walking the walk instead of talk the talk, because at mine, at times, they are absolutely full of it. They are full of it. And when I watched them warm up, I'm thinking, boy, oh boy, I'll tell you what, Wakefield are going to be in for a bit of hiding here, the way they showed it enthusiasm, the way they were hitting the tackle bags, the way they were moving the ball. But I tell you what, when it comes to the A-boys here, when it came to the pressure situation, they were absolutely useless at times, clueless on attack. So them St Helens players, take a long, hard look at yourself, and instead of doing the talk, walk the walk. It's as simple as that. And, you know, all right, they're not the most attractive of size. Yeah, so Kieran has got to take a bit of blame from that himself and maybe Shaw Long from there. But the players, take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror, because you are letting Kieran Cunningham down, in my opinion.
Well, obviously there's a lot of pressure on Kieran Cunningham. And as you say, the fans are not happy with the style of play. But something you mentioned as we were leaving at Langtree Park on Friday about, obviously, he is a great player in the history of St Helens. There's the statue of him outside the ground and all that. But as great a player he was, the player he's coaching, the players he's coaching at St Helens at the moment, not at his level, are they? Is that something, obviously, you, we talked about your coaching record in the past, we joked about it, we know all about it, but was that something you found frustrating, especially going into your first job at Huddersfield, the fact that obviously as a Hall of Fame level rugby league player, was it difficult to coach players who were nowhere near the level you were?
Oh, it is, and it's frustrating. And as I say, one thing for sure, you know, Kieran Cunningham and Sean Longo with the coaching staff, they didn't struggle to to start out the game very well, very quickly. They straight from the first kickoff, they would have been up for that game. And there, and this is what I'm saying about these St Helens players: stop doing talk the talk and start doing walk the walk. And yeah, it is very, very frustrating. And as I say, that's what I'm getting from Kieran, and certainly with his interview after the game on Friday night. And he's got to take some responsibility. Well, he's got to take a lot of responsibility to where that they're playing. All right, they're missing Matty Smith from there, but you know, it might be far too late when they may be down the ladder, because I say Matty Smith may be out for 3 months and Theo Farr's maybe not the answer. I hope they stick by Richardson. I like Richardson from there, so don't be blaming the young halfback. It's them experienced players at St Helens are letting Kieran and Cunningham down, in my opinion.
Got to give the kids a chance, haven't you? You know, there's no point blaming them for everything
that
goes wrong.
Rich, I'll give you a prime example here now. This is where Sean Wayne should be absolutely applauded. What was people saying about George Williams 3 years ago? It's far too early for him. He's not good enough. He's not got the experience. You know, he needs resting. What did Sean say? I'll tell you what, I know how good this kid is. It don't matter to me what sort of mistakes he's going to be making. I'm going to stick with him week in and week out. And now look what we're getting from George Williams. Again, he was the best player for Wigan on Friday night with his creativity from there. And that's exactly what we should do. And I say, I hope Kieran Cunningham sticks with Richardson there. I don't know why Matt Dermott's not picking Jordan Lee, because wouldn't be for sure, you can't fault Jordan Lee for Friday night. And what I'm hearing from Rhinos fans is that they're saying the youngsters are up to it. But I tell you what, it's not the youngsters who are letting Lee's down. It's the experienced players. So, yeah, you've got to. And they take a note out of what Sean Wayne has done with George Williams. Stick with him, because at the end, you know, they will become quality players.
Well, let's talk about that. Wigan are at the other side and beaten with 3 wins from 3. Obviously, they beat Lee on Friday. Thursday night, Castleford Tigers. They've scored 140 points in 3 games now after Tigers. They're top of the tree. It's very early into the season, of course. Let's get the good stuff out of the way first. I was watching at home, Scurry, and you just sometimes watch a game and you just sit back and you think, I wish it was like this all the time. Not obviously Leeds getting beaten, I'm not talking about that, but the way Castleford play, the way they just want to try things, there is still a joy to watch. And it would be great if they can continue this throughout the season, because it would be great to have a champion side who do play that way.
Well, we'll be for sure they won't change the philosophy, will they? You know, so that's what we are going to see all the season. They are not going to change the way that they play. And the great thing about it as well, the attitude what Cass have got. And it's the same with Tony Smith, what he said after the Brisbane win. You know, if we do make mistakes, we are going to make mistakes the way that we play, then we know we've got a minute to defend, and the fitness level is what they've got to now. So they accept it. They accept at times. It's not going to always work out, but boy, oh boy. As we saw, you know, against Warrington the week before and then against Leeds on Thursday. An absolute pleasure to watch. Absolutely sensation. And we're not going to see any difference from Cass. And if it teams, you know, if they don't get themselves defensively sorted out, then whether we're going to see another 66 points, I don't really know, to be honest with you. But one thing for sure, Cassford are the entertainers. They are sheer quality. And I think I said on the show 2 weeks ago, I wish every coach will take a leaf out of Dan O'Pal's book and play the game in the right way.
And as much as we talk about Gale and Hardacre and this and that and the other and all the other players that they've got in that side, Paul McShane was superb again on Thursday. But Greg Minikin, I mean, you talked about him last year being 6'7" tall and, you know, this, that and the other if he got called up for England. But there's a guy who Darryl Powell and his staff have seen in League One with the York City Knights. They've taken a chance on him. And he's repaying him in spades. And, you know, maybe he will be in that England squad come the end of the year for the World Cup. And as you said last year, if he wasn't in the England squad for the Four Nations or the World Cup or whatever, he's not going to let anyone down, is he?
No, he wouldn't. And if you look at, you know, some of the other players as well that's putting it in the frame, obviously Zach Harlick, Luke Gale will be there. You know, as I say, with the two wingers and... Minikin there, and then I say Greg Egan with the opportunities, what they're getting. You look at Matt Meakin in the second row. Well, as I say, we just mentioned there how good he is. And so Castleford, you know, overall, they could have quite a few players in this England squad if that's the way that Wayne Bennett would like to go. And but my question is, why is it Dan O'Pell, the coaching staff? But I guess that's another one for another day. But yeah, the Castleford players, they're just going to work with a smile on their face. They love playing for Dan O'Pell, the way he manages them there. And also, the question, what everybody will be asking the question, well, if they get a couple of injuries, you know, and is that consistency point of view? Well, I think Dallas got that sorted out. He can't help injuries, but what they have got now, they've got a quality squad. If anybody's not playing to their best of their ability, they'll get replaced because they know they've got a quality squad. And they're a pleasure to watch, absolute pleasure to watch. And the players at this moment in time are absolutely buzzing and loving the atmosphere.
I mean, it's just great, isn't it? and the show...
It is. You just can't follow it. No way made it. And I say even, you know, and I mentioned it last week regarding the Castleford forwards. They don't look too bulked up, do they? They just look a lot more agile, look a bit more slim, and a lot more mobile. So whether Castleford are doing, you know, yoga training, they might not be lifting them big tyres what are down at Weldon Road, and then big lumps of wood what's in the car park from there. And you know, we'll be the show again. You know, they don't blend the training facilities, do they? And you know, they just look a lot lighter and I say more mobile. And look at the way the forwards are offloading the ball, and that's the confidence what they got, but that's the confidence what the coaching staff there at Castleford give their players. And it's a credit, absolute credit to Dan O'Pell, and I'll mention it again, and I'll keep mentioning it until he's made the England coach. Why now? Why is it Dan O'Pell on that England coaching staff? Why have we got all forwards as Wayne Bennett's assistants? I just do not understand it one little bit. I don't, honestly. I don't know. Does anybody else? Is there anybody else coming in? You know, come on Facebook and come on Twitter and Radio Yorkshire, whatever title it is on there. You know, does anybody know why Dan O'Pell's not on the coaching staff? Why have we got all forwards on it?
It's a maverick.
I just don't understand it, Richie. I don't understand it.
Right, Leeds. I know they were playing Castleford, and I know Castleford were great and all that, but. People keep asking the question, and you know, at the moment there are two coaches, I guess, under pressure in the Super League more than any because of the clubs they coach. We've mentioned Kieran Cunningham, and the other one is Brian McDermott. I say he's under pressure, but he's only under pressure, it seems, from supporters, isn't he? The club are backing him, and you hear nothing negative coming out about him and his coaching and this and that and the other. So what's going on? How can Leeds turn things around? You know, 2 years ago they were the team who won everything. Last year we thought, you know, well, they blamed it on this, they blamed it on that, but we're into 2017 now. They've only won one game, and that sounded like it was scrappy against Salford. So what's going wrong? Oh, two games, sorry. What's going wrong with the Leeds Rhinos?
Right, Rich. I'm going to address this, and again, I'll be saying it tomorrow night on the show as well, and I've touched on it again in my column tomorrow. So, yeah, players have to take responsibility. Yeah, Matt Dermott's under pressure, and he's been backed by Gary. Say, yeah, he's strong enough and big enough to turn it around. But again, the players have got to take pressure. Now, let's work this out now. You know, back to 2015, right? Leeds was a big bubble, right? And we all know that the three players, the two bookends, and Kevin Sinfield were retiring, right? Okay, so we all know what they did in 2015, and they won the treble. The bubble was absolutely perfect. 2016, they were sulking. They were making excuses. And then, you know, that bubble was losing its shape. That bubble was losing its shape. And still, the players were sulking and complaining. Now, come to 2017, that bubble has burst. And the situation is now, for them Leeds players, is simple. How are they going to inflate that bubble back? Not just to get it into a bubble, but also to get it back to some sort of shape. And what I'm seeing, they are still sulking, they're still feeling sorry for themselves. Kevin Sinfield's gone, the main man has gone. They knew he was going in 2015. We're into 2017 now, we're into 2017. So that bubble, the shape of that bubble, and that bubble has totally deflated. Don't blame it all on Matt Dermott. Them senior players have to take responsibility in performance, and at this moment in time, it's simply not good enough. And that performance against Castleford, take nothing away from Castleford. They were spectacular. But me, as a Leeds supporter now, as the next Leeds player and the next Leeds captain, that performance was painful. Simple as that.
We'll talk about it a lot more tomorrow, so I don't want to get into much detail on it now. But Hull, rousing win for them against Huddersfield. Hat-trick from Mark Snead. What you said worked, didn't it? You're the master motivator now in rugby league.
Well, Richie, we're going to talk about it tomorrow, as everybody knows from there. So let's just leave it there. The motivation worked. And I tell you what, delighted for the Black and Whites. They got a response, what they needed after that Catalan performance for the coach, Lee Radford. But one thing for sure, we're going to be getting ripped in about that. I'm going to get ripped in, by all accounts, from the main man of the show, Mark Wilson. I'm sure there'll be a few quiet comments from yourself, and maybe a few people on Twitter will be asking a few questions tomorrow night. So I'm looking forward to that, Richie.
People got upset about what you said last week, but I guess you want these players to be the best they can be.
Right, Richie, and I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again, right? Let me just say it again, and hopefully people will take it on board what I do say. All I do, I comment on what I see. I comment on what I see on a piece of green field, which is, what, 77 yards wide, 100 yards long, and that's all I comment about. I don't get personal, I don't get defamatory, and that's all I can do. And I repeat exactly the performance from Hull FC to Catalans was last week. It was very, very poor. The players were very, very poor. And quite simply, with Mark Snead's performance against Catalans, and all I said was, after that performance, his kicking game was absolutely rubbish. And if his kicking game's not on, he doesn't bring anything to Hull FC. And that's exactly what the performance was against Catalans. And yes, OK, I question from a point of view the organisation, which everybody knows from there. But boy, oh boy, tell you what, it's worked, hasn't it? You know, it worked from a point of view where not just himself individually, but also to the Hull FC players. So, listen, Lee Radford is not a daft person. Lee Radford is a quality coach. He knew himself exactly. Even after the interview room after the Catalans game, yeah, we were very, very poor with ball in hand, and that's all I do. And one thing for sure, the way Mark Snead reacted on Thursday night, absolutely delighted. A hat trick of tries, 8 points. Organising the team around, because I'm not ashamed to say this, I'm a Leeds Rhinos fan, I'm a Hull FC fan. Yes, I want Leeds Rhinos or Hull FC to be in every final what it is. I want them battling now because I'm a fan, you know. And but at the end of the day, you know, I'm a pundit, and I have to give honest and open comments and open commentary, and that's what I'm paid to do. And I don't make things up. And I give comments on what I see, and that's all I could do. And I'm defending myself here. And if people don't like open, honesty, commentary, or open and honest punditry, well, that's their problem, not mine. It's as simple as that. And one thing for sure here, Mr. Richard Shaw, right? And as I say to my boss, Mark Wilson, Scully ain't going to change. So it's as simple as that. I am not going to change, but all I do is give open and honest commentary, and that's all I do. It's as simple as that. And if you don't like it, well, it's tough.
Well,
simple as that.
There is an off button on your radio. That does exist. We advise you not to use it and listen to us instead. But, Mark, you're not going to get that anywhere else, are you?
Just coming here now.
Oh, is he then? Oh, I thought he was already there.
Oh, is he? Hold on, Rich. He's just here now.
A big ending there, all spoiled. Mark Wilson.
Is he here now?
Hi, mate.
Scully says it's all about honesty. You're not going to get the level of honesty and opinion anywhere else, are you? Because everyone's
exactly
scared.
Right, mate. And well, look, you know, you can have an opinion. We know that now. Scully's got his. They're not always right, but they're not always wrong either. And despite all the furore around what he said during the week, there were an awful lot of people. We try not to tell him. That he thought what he said was right. So I'm sure tomorrow, as much as we're all hoping it'll be a Scully bashing session, there will be those that come out in support of him as well. And fair play to them for that. And all welcome, 6-8. That's the rule. As long as you're prepared to fight your corner, come on and have your say, just like Scully does. He'll get some back tomorrow. Don't worry about that. But yeah, good. Just me to speak to the two coaches. I know you're going to hear from them shortly. Rich, John Sharp, very, very disappointed, as you would expect. So that a few people didn't follow the game plan. Very disappointed with that. And also, Alan Kilshaw, delighted with his side's performance. Said he never in doubt that Lewis Palfrey would kick that goal at the end. So 3 wins out of 5 for them. They're delighted with that, the Hornets. And fair play, decent game today.
Well, you enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening. See if Scully can find Joanne and get his burger. And we'll see you again tomorrow from 6.
I tell you what, Richie, I'm very much looking forward to tomorrow night.
She's there, is John. Look, she's avoiding you. She's avoiding it. She's avoiding him. Right, she's going to run away now while I put the kit up. Keep all the score. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock.
Matt Wilson and Gary Scofield there live from the Big Fellas Stadium. And I was going to say, speaking of Big Fellas, that would be unfair. Matt Hawthorne's joining me in the studio.
Howdy, Rich.
Oh, it's a magic how this happens, isn't it? It's all like it's well planned. How are you?
I'm good.
Did you enjoy the rugby?
It was decent today, yeah, because there was a decent team in town, so... yeah, still plenty of kicking, plenty of rain, but no, it was better than the usual standard fare.
You were obviously at the AJ Bell Stadium yesterday to see Warrington Wolves.
Capitulate.
Three defeats on three.
Capitulate,
obviously,
yeah.
This game wasn't on TV. I was watching Toronto versus London, but right. I can't watch Salford versus Warrington. How is it? How are they? We've not heard from Tony Smith yet.
Salford are a good side. They were a good side last year, and the only reason they didn't make the 8 was because of the 6-point deduction that they got, and... They played really, really well, well organised. Michael Dobson, Robert Louis guiding him around the field, Gareth O'Brien chiming in from fullback, and the big men performed as well. Lama Tarsi, George Griffin on the edges, and Warrington just never really got going. Salford were unlucky to have a chance disallowed for a forward pass, which I don't think it was forward. Then on the following set, Warrington scored off a forward pass through Jack Hughes, so... I don't think Ian Watson's had a lot of rub of the green with forward passes and things like that at the moment. So, no, Salford, full value for the victory yesterday, fully deserved. And they're going to be a dark horse as we continue through the season.
The excitement of the 2017 rugby league. Have you been anywhere else this weekend?
Oh, you were, it's Huddersfield on Thursday night, yes.
Who else was at Huddersfield with you?
Hello. Ow. Minnie.
You're on there.
Yeah, it was...
Let me try that one.
It was a game where I, as a Hull fan, would have been disappointed if we hadn't have won. Wasn't expecting the win that we got, but fair play to the young lads of Huddersfield. I thought they really, really stepped up.
One guy who impressed me on Thursday night was Darnell McIntosh, forced into playing fullback really, really late because Lee Gaskell dropped out during warm-up. And thought Darnell McIntosh, he really is one for the future for the Giants. He was really good on Thursday night.
Yeah, I thought all the young lads stepped up really well for Huddersfield. You know, it's well documented that Gaskell did drop out very early into the warm-up. And so that put their 10 out to 11, which was the last thing they needed. I think I would have been quite disappointed with the older stalwarts, personally, that, you know, didn't step up as well as the young lads did.
This seems to be a feature of a lot of teams. We're just talking about St Helens and how their older players aren't standing up.
And yet the coach has ripped into a kid who's played 3 games of Super League.
Well, I think there's a lot of controversy with Mr. Cunningham's post-match comments. I mean,
there's been some good post-match comments this weekend, haven't there?
Well, yeah,
we weren't too far off.
We weren't too far off. Yeah, all right, yes. Then Mars is closer, dear. So never mind. But yeah, to suggest that the penalty try wasn't a penalty try. I'm sorry, it was as clear as day. There was
you
no
would say that,
way.
I would say that, but...
I'm sorry, there's no way Miller was not going to score that.
And in fairness to Richardson, as I said earlier, there's nothing much else he could have done.
No.
Because he wasn't going to get to the ball, so he had to stop the man.
But...
I can't believe why you weren't so confident on Thursday night, because they were clear favourites, tipping competition-wise.
I'm not saying I wasn't confident. Oh, come on. You know what Kieran says about me. If I'm confident, he worries. I'm the eternal pessimist in that I hope we always win, but I don't always expect us to win. I didn't expect us to win by that much.
And what about the motivation that Hull received on Thursday night?
Well, Mr. Motivator himself.
He's coming in Lycra tomorrow. You realise what's
happening? Is he coming in Lycra?
He's not.
Well, I hope not.
He's not. That knocked down the Facebook Live views to zero. If you said that.
No, well, you see, that I'm not going to say what I want to say about what he said about Sneed because
feel free. It's going to go on the podcast as well.
I agree
as
with...
As we said, we can, you can say whatever you want, as long as it's not libelous, you can say what you want.
Oh, it's not libelous. I agree
as opposed
with...
to the radio station. Not
I agree with what Gary said about Snead's game. However, I disagree with the way he did it. I think rather than being critical, it was an attack on a young player that, at the end of the day, it's a confidence game.
State of mind and all that.
And it that upset me more than anything, because that you don't know what that could have done to Snead, confidence or otherwise. However, I also think he's comparing him to players that aren't like Snead. Snead is not the greatest passer in the league and is not the greatest tackler in the league. However, he does have a fabulous kicking game. And we, as a team, have sorted out the issue that we have by buying Albert Kelly. And that's what we've done. There is not a single team in this league that has two Albert Kelly-esque players in their team. They always have the little general that does things on the quiet, and then you've got the flashy player.
Apart from Warrington.
Snead isn't the flashy player. Oh, yeah, how's that going for them at the moment?
Well, they haven't got the flashy player, have they? They've got the organisers in Patton, Gidley and Brown. And
you
they haven't
need
got that
bit of flash.
Sando X factor, have they?
Exactly. And I'm sorry, but Snead isn't that kind of player. You know, give the lad a break. Give him the chance to do what he can do. And he does it well. And let's see what happens when we have got that X factor in. And we saw that on Thursday night. Because Albert Kelly provides that X factor and Snead will feed off that.
And the two tries that Albert Kelly scored on Thursday night were just simply running across the face of the Huddersfield defence. All of a sudden, somebody's not moved up enough, or somebody's just left that little door and boom, Albert's throwing over the line
and
in a flash.
And he sees those. He's the kind of player that will see those gaps. Not every player has that ability. Richard Whiting could see those gaps. I said from day one when he started playing for Hull, if he had had the legs to match his rugby league brain, he'd have been the greatest. Unfortunately, he didn't. But Bajek, he still saw those gaps and he still put plenty of players through. And that's what Albert will do. Whereas Snead will carry on with his kicking game. And I'll be the first to admit that that probably wasn't even firing on all cylinders at the Catalan game. And he'll have known that. He's not daft. He knows that. He didn't need to be attacked so openly, so vitriolically, on radio.
And telly. I saw her
and Facebook Live.
And Facebook Live.
I saw her at St Helens on Friday. You're going to stuff them. They're no good. So it's going to be another two hat-tricks in a row from Arsene.
Please
they're no good.
To admit, I did watch the Saints game and I said again what I said on the way to Huddersfield when I saw their team. If we lose on Friday, I'll be upset. I will be upset.
I didn't see the Saints game because I was at the AJ Bell on Friday night.
Watching
yes.
him?
No, it was awful. The other one scored on Friday night, though,
yeah,
his first try.
Well, the one that we don't name, for legal reasons, they've got to call him up England soon, haven't they? Otherwise they're going to change the rules and he won't be allowed to play.
But he's Samoan.
Well, it depends how much, depends how much money goes your way, doesn't it?
Yeah. Apparently it's £22,000 a game.
Yeah. Oh, I always knew. I wish my school had played uni instead of league, because I was rubbish at league, but I could have had a chance at uni. Just stand around a bit and tackle.
Well,
yeah, pretty much.
There was always that old saying, wasn't there, why do they put shorts in rugby union players, pockets in rugby union players' shorts, yeah. So the wingers can keep their hands warm. Premier all week.
I don't think we've finished on Warrington. Are they going to turn things around?
Yeah, they'll turn things around, but... I don't know if you've actually heard the interview with Tony yet.
Not yet.
He's saying they're still a little bit underdone. So, and they're waiting for firmer ground and everything else. And once we get better weather and better pitches, you'll see the true Warrington. But it's all right playing on good pitches in April, May and June. But if you can't play on the bad pitches in February and March,
you
lose your first seven games, you're behind the eight,
you're
behind the eight ball, and you're not going to make the top four.
Yeah, I mean, we was talking earlier, obviously, with us being at Yorkshire Carnegie this afternoon, and we were saying about the whole swing low, sweet chariot thing, that there's been a lot of it in league. But at the end of the day, it's what we won at Wakefield with, getting those penalty kicks in. It's what Catalan won at our place with, getting those penalty kicks in. You've got to take your chances when the weather's like this. Play to the conditions. And some teams play better than others in these conditions.
Well, Castleford top of the table, Wigan second, then the Catalans, then Hull. Fourth, happy? 2 wins from 3?
I'm frustrated with the Catalan loss. It was a winnable game. We should have probably won it if we hadn't have let our heads go. We let Catalan do what they do. We let them bully us and get into our heads and we exploded. And it, I like to think that we've got that silly game out of the way and we won't do it again. I hope not.
Which is fair enough. And Matt, obviously, is a neutral because we never reveal who you support.
Saddleworth Rangers.
Saddleworth Rangers.
There you go.
They weren't beaten heavily by Castleworth, though, so that's all right. The weekend. Warrington Bottom, then Widnes, who drew yesterday in the slop, as they say, in the south of France. Lee, St Helens, Wakefield in the top eight, just below Leeds, who've won 2 of 4.
Somehow won 2 of 4.
Yeah.
They should never have won at Salford.
And they should never have won at Lee, to be fair. But well, hey, no. These things happen.
Even though I was at Lee, I keep forgetting that they played in that game. But the season so far, we're happy. We're enjoying it. It's good.
There's been some good rugby. It's been some good rugby. And now we're 3 weeks in. Can I just say, I've just looked at the scores from this afternoon.
Because you've been watching the other stuff.
The other stuff, and I'm absolutely stunned that Rochdale have won at Featherstone.
Well, again, goal kicks the difference there. 10-9. Penalty in the 77th minute to win it.
Was it 9-8 at that point?
It was 9-8 to Featherstone, yes.
Wow.
But in fairness, Rochdale had been the better side throughout that game.
Yeah, Alan Kilshaw's doing a good job with them, isn't he?
We're going to hear from him before
and
6 o'clock.
And a couple of Warrington players in there on dual reg as well. Sam Wild being one of them who's played today for Rochdale. So, yeah. I mean, Jack Johnson was due to play as well for Rochdale today, but with Matt Russell went down with a back spasm at lunchtime yesterday. So Jack Johnson actually trained with Rochdale yesterday morning and then got the call to go straight to the AJ Bell to play in the first team for Warrington instead.
Excitement of dual reg. You could have been at Featherstone tonight.
You could have been at Featherstone today, but instead went to Salford yesterday. It was quite horrific at Salford yesterday because you know the sewage works that aren't a million miles away.
You know what? I've never been to Salford's new ground.
Well, you're very lucky.
I don't know how I've managed to avoid it, but I've never
been. Near Salford's new ground, there is a sewage works.
Is this a metaphor?
No.
There really is
a sewage works. And let's just say the wind was blowing in the wrong direction yesterday.
It smelled like Leeds' performance on Thursday.
Yes. Yes. We're here all week.
Yeah. Some people think we're here to kick Leeds while they're down. Yeah, we are.
We are. Of course we are.
They won everything for years. Yes. All of us others who don't.
We're always going to enjoy this, aren't we? Of course we are.
The worst Leeds side since the start of Super League. Possibly.
Yeah. Yeah, they played in a heritage kit on Thursday night and it was just like 1996 all over again, as quite a few people said on social media.
Mella.
Although we still need to wait for Sitake Tuipulotu to put an appearance in.
But they're not far off.
Or Nathan Peachey.
Remember, they're not far off.
Yeah, they're not far off. It just depends how far is how far.
Well, you'll have to ask Mr McDermott that, won't you?
No.
Let's see what the Catalans do to them on Friday. Where are you this weekend?
Thursday I'm at Warrington.
Oh yeah, Warrington versus Wigan. Yeah.
Friday I'm at Hull.
Hull. Oh,
Saturday I'm at work, and Sunday I'm at Widnes.
Busy weekend then.
It's Widnes Cass in it next Sunday. Yeah, I'm at Widnes Cass.
You know the start of the season. You know he goes to work first game of the season, and he goes, "See you in October, love." And it really does feel like that.
Yeah, this is our quality time now, spending it
yeah,
with you.
Hello. Oh,
Well, thanks for inviting me to be the third person in the parish.
Third wheel.
And certainly on that bombshell, Matt, Karen, thank you very much.